97.5, The Fanatic.
Hello.
D-Line, I'm Joe Torti, 97.5, The Fanatic, as we hang out until midnight. 2 hours in the books. D said it feels like six, but we're working on it. You know, I'm trying to make it happen here. Talking Sixers.
By the way, I hadn't seen you in a while. You know, the Monday night game last week.
Uh-huh.
So there was no Lineham and Torti.
Yeah, well, we have to have some good stuff lined up for after dark. Technically, as far as the FCC is concerned, we're good. But, I mean, I still think that there might be kids awake at this point.
We have standards.
There are standards, yeah, so we'll wait until 10. You know, the FCC is not good enough for us.
Correct.
Dylan McKinnon is producing. Eagles are 7-7. Sixers are 20-8. Which of those two surprises you more at this point in their respective seasons?
That's a good one. I'm going to say the Eagles 7-7, to be honest with you.
Me too.
Yeah.
But it is a discussion because I didn't think the Sixers would lose 8 games by now. I really didn't.
But they've never, to this point, even in their last 2 seasons, and I do think they are getting better each year, they've yet to be that really good road team yet.
Yeah,
and they're
that's
still
the truth.
Below 500 road team, so...
Getting it done at home, though.
Oh, yeah. I call that banking.
Banking?
You're banking.
That's what they're doing. They've been better at it than anybody else in the league.
That's
they're still the only unbeaten team at home, right?
14-0.
Beautiful thing.
Yes.
Let's go to Donald in Lansdowne next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Donald?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Excellent.
Yeah, that caller who called in talked about military strategy.
Yeah, game theory and stuff. Yep.
Yeah, he's just partially right, which makes him wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. If you run the ball 35 times and you pass the ball 25 times, it's a good possibility you can still lose. And you have to have a good average with statistics running the ball in order to have a good strategy. You have to put all three together. And the way you do it is if your running backs are averaging 5 yards a carry and you're moving the chains and you're working on the clock, you can use the pass to set up the run. Even though Peterson sometimes uses play action pass to set up the run, and I'm okay with that. But this is where you fail. If we go against teams that have real good linebackers and you can run the ball, say, maybe 20 times between the first quarter, second quarter, and early third quarter and run the ball 20 times, if your running backs are only getting 1 or 2 yards a carry or getting stopped at the line of scrimmage and then you go pass happy in the fourth quarter, then you're going to lose that game. So the key is building up your average early in the game. And if you look at the statistics on defense, other teams that beat us, if you look at the top 4 tacklers, it's usually 2 linebackers, maybe a corner and a safety, or 2 linebackers and maybe a defensive end and a corner. So, therefore, if you flip it around on the Eagles' defense, we basically have 1 linebacker that's making most of the tackles, and that's Gary.
Yep.
So we need 2 excellent linebackers in this draft coming up.
Mostly
because
need
if
linebackers.
If you can't stop the run, it's hard to win a game because then if you're running the ball and the other team is stopping you to 1 and 2 yards a carry, then therefore you're going to panic and start passing the ball like crazy and we're going to end up losing. So what we got to do is establish that run, use play action pass, and then you can set it up and start running the ball again, taking time off the clock, wearing the other defense down, and in the meantime, you have to attack the linebackers. Every time we attack the other team's linebackers, we win. So how do you attack them? You run the ball, you throw passes to the running backs, whether it's screen, out in the flat, or the wheel route, put pressure on them, and then use your tight ends to go underneath, and you can put pressure on the linebackers that way. Because basically, if you look at Chip Kelly in his last 4 years at Oregon, he only had 1 wide receiver. But he had a mobile quarterback in Mariota. He had 2 good running backs, and he's constantly running the ball and throwing to the backs. Running the ball, throwing to the backs, and every now and then he'll hit you over the top with his tight end.
Well, and we've seen the Eagles, Donald, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it.
First of all, Chip Kelly?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if that's the success story that you want to tell here. But, I mean, his point stands.
I know what he's saying.
But here's what I'd say about all of it, right? First things first, I've always thought the commitment to the run is important. I think it's easy to be committed to the run when you're averaging 6 yards a carry on 25 carries in the first half. Like, that's easy. But
yeah, it's when it gets hard that you have to still stay committed.
I mean, I look at the Adrian
Meaning
Peterson...
hard in terms of getting yards.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I look at the Adrian Peterson career arc and his game logs. If you look at them, they're always 1 yard, 2 yards, minus one, 0, 1, 2, 60. Like, that's like just the Adrian Peterson game when he was at the height of his powers. If you judged on those first five carries, you're like, all right, he's going nowhere. Like, the run's not going to work today. That's where you have to be committed to continuing to try to make it happen, because other than that, you're operating with one hand behind your back. If you're not going to commit to running, so much of the deception of your offense does go away. I just think that if you look at the results this year, the teams that run the ball the best happen to be the best teams. And they're not just accumulating yards at the end of games when they're up. I mean, Seattle, you're looking at them the way that they run the ball. That's how they win.
Absolutely.
And they've got Russell Wilson, by the way.
And if you listen to Pete Carroll talk after a game, he's always talking about his running game and what they were able to do or accomplish. Oh, I love listening to him after a game.
Me too.
It's a lot about balance.
610-632-0975. And when Eagles have gotten pass happy, that's when they lose. Like, you look at 2017, I thought that was one of the best coaching adjustments that Doug Peterson made, was that he coached a god-awful game against Kansas City where he got totally pass happy in a 7-point game in the third quarter where the game was not out of reach. The Chiefs were only up 7, and you could have conceivably caught up with them if you did the balanced thing. And at that moment, I was like, I'm so done with Doug Peterson. And that next week, when Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz and everybody are coming out and saying, we need to run the ball more, we need to run the ball more, and then they do against Los Angeles, and that was the balanced approach they took with the rest of the season, that's where things really turned around. We've seen the same story happen this year where in games where the Eagles fall in love with the pass, they can't win. You just can't do it.
And I want to say that yesterday, maybe the running was partially out of being forced there,
right?
Because of who you had or didn't have available.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that funny?
For sure.
Wasn't necessarily that genius happened in coaches' meetings per se, but because of personnel. By the way, I mean, I'm just looking at Zeke's numbers, right? He had 24 carries for 117 yards, and then he had 3 catches. So 27 touches, almost 6 yards per carry, per touch. And then the other guy ran for 131, Pollard.
Yep.
And you know what? How many yards they gave up, rushing yards?
How many?
22.
Oh, that Gurley contract's looking really good. It's looking really good.
You would like that.
Yeah. The other thing is about attacking linebackers. Do you watch enough, you know, there's not teams that play a ton of linebackers anymore. Like, a lot of times you get 2 linebackers that see the field, and that's it.
Well, some would say that the Eagles really don't value that position like they once did.
Not at all. Not when you've got Malcolm Jenkins kind of playing that big nickel position. Nate Gary plays linebacker. He's really a safety. Like, he's actually a safety. And then Nigel Bradham is kind of your only true linebacker that sees a whole lot of action. So, like, you look at the Eagles aren't unique in that. There's a lot of teams that kind of go with that setup.
Yeah, they're doing it different.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Now, there are some teams, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, like, there are some teams that value the linebackers a lot, but they draft the linebackers who can do everything, as opposed to the specialist kind of roles, and or at least the roles that are just kind of replacement level that we've seen with some other teams.
Was Trout the last great linebacker we had?
This is going to be an unpopular opinion with a lot of people.
Yeah, help me remember, because
I think D'Amico Ryans is just as good as Jeremiah Trotter was over the course of his career.
I agree.
Especially in a short sample size. Ryans was good, but they have not prioritized that position at all. I'm trying to think, like, Mark Cimino.
How about even this year? Like, they went out and got Zach Brown, and then they let him go.
Yeah, well, that didn't work either.
Well, it didn't, but just saying, you know, they quickly
identify. Well, yeah, exactly.
Jordan Hicks when healthy was really good.
Yeah, Jordan Hicks when healthy was good.
That's a good one.
But so I saw that people were like, oh man, they should have kept Jordan Hicks. He's like leading the league in tackles. And I said, look at the next stat line, which is Jordan Hicks when covering tight ends is surrendering the most yards and everything else. So he's running these guys down all the time. Like, that's the area where you attack. It's just tough. all works within the context of the defense. Whatever the rules are, you're always trying to funnel them towards certain players. That's why people are like, I can't believe Luke Kuechly had like 20 tackles in a game. It's like, the entire defense is designed so that everything goes towards Luke Kuechly so he can tackle him. Like, right. It just, with Jim Schwartz's defense, I don't know where you're trying to funnel people.
I was just going to say, no idea. The last 2 weeks, I have no idea.
It hasn't worked out at all. Brian in Northeast Philly's next on the Fanatic. Hey, Brian.
How's it going, guys?
Going great. How are you?
All right. I cannot disagree more about the run versus pass ratio, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
If you look back, first of all, it depends how you pass, who you pass to, and when you pass to. The data says throw the ball to a running back on first down. Do not run the ball. You know, running in the red zone is more effective. You look at all these teams that are doing very well, right? You know, Baltimore, et cetera, San Francisco. They're throwing early in the game to get ahead, and then they finish out the game by running the ball. They get in close, they run the ball. They get later into the game, they run the ball. And that was basically what the 2017 Eagles did. Like, we were third in the league in rushing, and we had a good run game, but what was the season about? It was about the magic of Carson Wentz.
Sure.
We get up by a huge lead in the first half and just, you know, kill the clock, run the ball, get sacks later in the game. And here you go. I disagree with the rushing numbers, too, because if you look at the top 13 teams, I'm saying 13 knowing it's 12 to get into the playoffs, but because I think two of them are flukes. Leading teams in passing touchdowns and in this order. Baltimore, Tampa Bay, obviously, we know that that's kind of fluky. Seattle, Atlanta, another bad team. Houston, Kansas City, San Francisco, Dallas, Detroit, New Orleans, Minnesota, Philly, Green Bay. The bottom teams, Cincinnati, Washington, Denver, Pittsburgh, Jets, Miami, Rams, Cleveland, Carolina, Arizona, all these teams that aren't in the playoffs. And the only two teams that aren't in the top 12 of passing touchdowns are Green Bay at 13 and New England. And we know New England will be just fine without it.
Right. So, Brian, what I would say to that last part that you mentioned there is that the teams that you mentioned aren't scoring a whole lot of touchdowns rushing or passing. You're talking about some of the worst offenses in the league.
Right. They're not moving the ball. So what do? You lean on the run game. And what I would say is this. Over the last decade, the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL, the Patriots and the Saints, and two teams that have quarterbacks that no one would consider a game manager, they know when to run the ball. It's not a matter of abandoning the run. It's a matter of, you know, knowing the right times to run the ball. If they're in a smaller formation, like a sub formation with a safety, a linebacker, that's a good time to run the ball. But if they're stacking the box and you're in 12 formation, 12 personnel, that would probably be a good time to pass the ball. And I think the abandonment of the RPO, because that was very successful with Frank Reich and the Eagles offense in 2017, has definitely, you know, seen regression for this offense as a whole.
Brian, good stuff, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I think that that is something that we've talked about. Does Carson Wentz do that well? Does the offensive line do that well? Does this current group of wide receivers do that well? Yet to be seen. But, yeah, the run-pass option has certainly taken a big-time backseat. I don't. I'm not willing to concede. I don't think on this passing yards thing, because I'm looking at, forget passing touchdowns, I'm looking at passing yards per game, and like there are teams that are at the bottom of the list who aren't passing the ball well. Washington, Pittsburgh, Denver, New York, Buffalo, Baltimore. You know, there are teams that don't pass it well, but the teams that run the ball well out of those, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Baltimore, those are going to be playoff teams by the looks of things. I don't know, like, there are no hard and fast rules where it's like, hey, you should never pass and you should only run the, like, that's not what we're saying either.
No, and I'm all for situational, reading a situation.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what strategy is. But, you know, there is some truth to utilizing both aspects of that game. That's all I'm saying. And if he wants to bring up the running TDs, if he's going to bring up the passing TDs, I mean, the Ravens have tied for the most. Vikings, 49ers, Cowboys, Titans, Rams, Packers, Browns, all right, forget it. And then the Patriots. I mean, there's something to be said. And these are the teams, obviously, that can score.
And the Patriots are second in the league in passing attempts per game.
Yes, yes.
40 passing attempts per game. I don't know. Like, first of all, I think that it's difficult anyway to derive long-term statistical data from the NFL because 16 games is just way too small of a sample size relative to
and
baseball.
Your personnel changes.
That's what it is.
That's a big part of it.
But I do think that there are trends and yes. like.
But and in that sense, don't you feel like it's coming back a little? Everybody was saying it's a passing game. It's a passing game. It's mm-hmm. a quarterback's game. And that the run has definitely made a little bit of a trending upward.
I think so.
I do.
Well, so there's a reason for that.
In a different way, because you have more versatile running backs.
Well, so that's part of it for sure.
Not the bully, you know, smash mouth.
Yeah, 2 yards and a cloud of dust.
Right.
But there's another kind of big picture reason for that I want to get to as well. Speaking of it being a quarterback's league, Drew Brees just tied Peyton Manning for the most passing touchdowns all time. 539.
Mm-hmm.
Brees a top 5 quarterback all time?
Top 5. I mean, with that number, you can't put him not in there, right? I know.
I don't know if he makes my list.
I would say no.
Five. Of course you have to have 5 talking about 5. I think 5 is just such a small number.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's hard to break in. There are people that are in there.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll talk about it maybe at some point. Terry on the cells next on the Fanatic. Hey, Terry.
Hey, how you making out there?
We're trying. We're trying as hard as we can.
That's the idea. You know, I have seen a lot of quarterbacks come a long, long way, and it scares me.
No, Terry, what'd you say? You're breaking up there. Can you repeat what you said? You've seen a lot of quarterbacks come a long way, and what?
I'm saying that Carson Wentz scares me in the fact that he has a problem holding on to the ball in the backfield when he's, you know, playing the game. And I saw a TV show one time when he was a senior in college, and John Gruden was coaching him, and he told him that you're going to lose a lot of footballs in the NFL if you don't learn how to hold that ball with 2 hands.
Be a two-handed monster. And yes.
And Gruden was all over him when he was, a college senior. I don't know what it was called, the coach's hour or something like that, but he coached him.
It was the quarterback camp with John Gruden. I watched it.
There you go. Yeah. Did you see that particular one with Carson Wentz?
Yeah, where they had the rope attached to the football, right? And he was trying to pull
it
out from behind.
They had the rope attached to the... Right.
Yes.
Exactly. It was... And this is the exact same thing that's happening here today. I mean, I just hate to see, and, you know, I love the guy as far as being an Eagle, but he's got to learn on how to hold that football. He's got to stop losing that football in the backfield.
That's a trend at this point. It's a big-time trend, Terry. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. And D and I talked about this before. He's got warts. A couple of his warts are injuries, which at this point is undeniable for his career. But the fumbling is not a hard luck thing. That's a skills thing that he needs to get better at for sure. And I think that he takes it seriously, too.
He talked about it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, unfortunately, he says it too often.
Right.
I got to do something. Yeah, you know, I got to do a better job. I got to do a better job. You know, and here you are.
I got to do a better job.
Yeah.
46 fumbles later. And still working on doing a better job.
So before that last call by Terry, we were talking about the return of the ground game as a philosophy in the NFL.
Yes.
I think that big picture, there's pressure coming from above, from ownership groups, from general managers, on coaches and offensive people to say we've got to be more ground focused, because we've seen non-top 10 league quarterbacks getting paid big time franchise crippling money so that, you know, you can't build a team anymore.
I see. So you're saying if you go the other route where you now are running it to a certain degree, that will then bring down the pay?
Or the necessity to pay every quarterback. Exactly.
That's
so now, sometimes it's too late. San Francisco, it's too late. You already paid Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's never going to be worth what you're paying him, because you're never asking him to do.
But that's a perfect example. So you did pay him, but you don't, just because you paid him, they run the ball.
Right. Exactly.
So just because you have a guy that's being paid a lot of money doesn't mean you shouldn't still do what's best with all of your personnel.
Well, and that's why you hear some people, Eagles players, talking about Carson Wentz and the amount of money that he's making. You heard Doug Peterson talk about you got the franchise quarterback, you ride the franchise quarterback. My thought that I had was like, if I'm ever graced with enough money to buy a Ferrari and I go like 200 miles an hour on the freeway, I can. Is that a good idea? Like, is that something that's a great idea? If you have this franchise quarterback, you're paying.
I don't recommend it, but.
Exactly. Yeah, can't really recommend it. It might, just because you can, probably not great for your long-term prospects. You have this guy. You've identified him. Do you have to throw the ball 50 times a game with him? Do you have to put every single situation on one guy? I just think that that's a losing philosophy. It sounds good where it's like, hey, this is our guy and we're putting the team on his back or whatever. Isn't it easier if you have all of the options, one of which is a guy that you really believe in, but you've got other options too? I've never understood the idea of just because you paid this guy this money, now you've got to get your money's worth and wring everything out of him. Every mile an hour.
But getting their money's worth is a philosophy used in a lot of aspects of life.
That's true.
So when you do that, I can see how it happens. I still don't think it's necessarily a winning formula because you're losing sight of the big picture. And you've paid some other guys too.
That's true. You've paid some other guys too. All I'm saying is your Toyota Corolla goes the same speed limit as the Maserati. That's all I'm saying.
I had a bad purchase as a college student of that car.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
I bought it used.
You'll never go back.
No.
It's hard to get bad car taste out of your mouth.
And I won't buy a car by myself again.
Okay. That was a solo experience?
Yes.
As a college student, you're just like, I need a car? I'm going to go out. I got to hear this story.
I bought it used.
I got to hear this story.
Oh, my.
It's D-Line and Joe Torti hanging out until midnight. Lance, Bill, sit tight. We'll get to you next on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, D-Line. I'm Joe Torti, 97.5, The Fanatic. Hanging out together until midnight. Discussing Eagles and the state of the NFL in general. It's kind of taking a meta approach here now with the run game versus the pass game and the balance and game theory. And
what I like about that is how callers feed off other callers.
I do love it.
And
yeah,
that creates conversation out of somebody's observation.
Of course.
Well, and also their strength in their own life. Like that guy was a strategist.
Yep, exactly. So I think that's awesome. That's really good stuff. And then of course the other part of it is how does it relate? Are there things that you can do? For example, I would say that the way that the Sixers are built, Bucks analytical, conventional basketball wisdom for how you put a team together in 2019 and what it looks like, but the Sixers are still being an effective basketball team despite not looking like analytically friendly team.
And not yet, not built like that.
Right, that's exactly what I'm saying. So I guess the other part of it is, if this is the trend in the way that the league is going, should the Eagles go that way? Does that necessarily mean that the Eagles have to execute the game plan the same way that all these other good teams are?
Well, the one difference with the Sixers is that defensively, they are built to stop people.
Sure, exactly.
So what the offensive analytics, which they do not equal, they can rely on their defense, whereas with the Eagles, you know, I'm not sure you could say that for sure, not right now.
Well, from an eye test perspective, the way that I've always verbalized that is that a team's got something. So, for example, the New York Giants, the 2 years that they won the Super Bowl, Giants were not a particularly good team, but they had a thing. They had the pass rush with just the four that could get home on anybody, and that was kind of an equalizer across the board.
What's the Eagles' equalizer?
Yeah, that's not. I don't think the Eagles have a thing right now, and therefore
not
they're
not currently.
Yeah, not currently. They don't currently have a thing.
No.
Like, for example, when Chip Kelly early on, when they were winning games, Chip Kelly was the thing. Like, the fact that the play calls were different and the tempo and the pace and everything like that, that was the thing. The thing didn't last.
Nope. That was like a flash in the pan thing.
That's exactly it. Got to figure out.
Don't we call that the one-hit wonder?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It was more than maybe a year, but
but not real long. Encore. No. Yeah, not long. Let's go to Lance in Arizona next on 97.5, The Fanatic. Good evening, Lance.
Hey, guys. I'm worried about Carson Wentz's fumble issue, but that's the least of my problems. When I look at their defense, like, there's so many stats. When you look at their defense, even the last 3 weeks, they should have been better than what they have been. They've been bad for 10 out of the 12 quarters against three bad teams. Like, I look at this. Fitzpatrick, Eli, and Haskins had QB ratings of 113, 94, 121. Mm-hmm. The defense this year, because I went back and looked at this, every time the Eagles have scored, got a field goal or a touchdown, they've given up points the next very next drive 20 times. That means 1.5 possessions every game. They're giving points right after they score. And then I look, they have four turnovers created in the last five games. That's not good. They have two interceptions in the last seven. And then on top of all this, I look at Jim Schwartz's track record from the time he started until now. In 2016, their point difference on the road and at home was 13.8 points. 2017, it's 12.1. This year, it's 11.2. The only year it was close on the road as it was at home was last year, was 1.5 difference. That means that's an outlier year. So you're not getting production on the road. There's something wrong if you're giving up more than almost two touchdown difference on the road than you are at home. That's a problem.
Well, so Lance, you said that it... Go ahead, D.
No, Lance, I'm just curious. Are they giving up more touchdowns on the road?
They're giving up more on the road.
All right, because they're it could also be they don't score enough on the road.
No, they're giving up more. Okay, so on the road, they have the largest point differential in Jim Schwartz's time as defensive coordinator across the league. They're giving up almost nearly... In the three other years, it's almost two touchdowns difference. That's the most out of any team besides Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is the only other team that's close, and their defense isn't very good.
Hmm.
So you're looking at it like, why are they going on the road and being that bad? Every other team, the average, when I looked at it, was about 5-6 points. They're all the way up at like 12.
It's doubled. Is it more? Like, I know that you said it concerns you, and it concerns all of us. But is that a surprise to you? Because not necessarily that stat in particular, but we knew that the defense would kind of be the weak point of this team all along, even dating back to the offseason.
The thing that surprises me right now is that line, the three lines they went against over the last 3 weeks were not very good lines. And you look at it, Fletcher Cox has a half sack in that time, and Brandon Graham has zero. So I look at it, and yesterday they didn't even have any QB hits. That to me was one of the worst performances of a defensive line by the Philadelphia Eagles that I've seen maybe in the last 20 years. That's how bad they were at rushing the passer yesterday. And to me, you're paying so much money to Fletcher Cox, and you're paying so much money to Brandon Graham, and you're getting nothing against three horrible teams. That doesn't give me confidence going in against Dallas, knowing you're going to have to get to Dak and bring him down, because if you don't, he's going to have all day and pick apart your better offensive weapons than you've been going against.
Lance, good stuff, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it.
And well, the Fletcher Cox goes back to the beginning of our night.
Yes.
Where we said that was brought out after the game on one of the national shows. And then the other thing I would say in terms of Schwartz, I would love if somebody brought that up, like what he would qualify as the outlier, because he would try to say it's an outlier.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Statistical quirk.
Yes. You know, I where he would tell you, I haven't looked at it. Maybe I would look at it and I could get back to you.
Which, I mean, you know, they never do. You always hear that. They never actually get back to you at all at that point. But, look, I think that Lance's concerns are valid, but I guess what I was digging at and what I was driving at is that we kind of knew, or at least I did, that the offense is going to be ahead of the defense.
Yeah, we said everybody wanted to outscore. They thought they were going to outscore everybody.
Exactly, and they haven't done that. So that's why people are like, how can you say that they don't need linebackers? How can you say that they don't need corners? I would point you in the direction of the dominant defenses in the NFL. I can't think of one. Can you think of one dominant defense in the NFL this year that only has one position group that is above average? Because I look at it as like the 49ers, the Bears, the Patriots, the Ravens, all of the really good defenses, the Steelers, have studs everywhere. every right. single, it's not like a secondary is shutting people down because coaches are
You're
too good now.
Just one part of the defensive unit that is carrying them.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't exist, I don't think. I'd have to really go team by team, but it's getting too easy to get away from, hey, why would I throw at their ball hawking safeties? We're just going to run the ball all the time. Or why would I challenge this front? We're just going to go into the flats or the backs or whatever. Like, I think that the idea of shoring up the defense by drafting a linebacker here in a corner there, I don't think it works. I think you've got to be more dominant in some other area. I think the wide receivers should be an area where the Eagles try to make that, as we were talking about earlier, their thing. If you've got Carson Wentz at a quarterback, you should be trying to draft wide receivers and get these guys in that can do some damage.
I thought you meant their thing right now.
No.
Greg Ward and...
No, they don't have a thing. Yeah. Greg Ward is about it.
We're running a little lean there. Wait, one other thing with Lance. He brought up the no hits.
Yes.
I did not see... Now, again, I watched the post-game show. I didn't see that come up with any of those defensive interviews.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not a topic because you win the game.
You win. That's what it is, I guess.
Is it? I don't know.
Andy Reid swoops in, you know, says, enjoy the win. Come on, let's go. Like that kind of quote that you get there.
Yes, I don't know. I just find it interesting. And even, well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. We'll see. They'll start talking again.
Well, it's your first crack at Dwayne Haskins, a rookie quarterback, and you didn't even make him uncomfortable.
At all.
Didn't harry him. Didn't pick him off. Didn't hit him.
Didn't get sacked.
Nothing.
Nope.
Bill, you're going to be next. 610-632-0975. It's D-Line. I'm Joe Torti hanging out until midnight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
D-Line. I'm Joe Torti here with you. 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out together until midnight. Dylan McKinnon, a.k.a. The D-Train. Producing this fine program. This is not a Pat Egan production. You would never confuse this with a Pat Egan production.
Who?
Hey, that's exactly right. We're in Dylan's world. What do you think about Lance's ideas about the road differences with the Eagles? Because obviously that was such a big-time factor in them in the Super Bowl year in why they were so successful. They were able to go on the road and do damage elsewhere all season long, especially defensively.
To then earn the right to be at home. That's really what that was about.
That's exactly it.
So, isn't that funny how that works?
That's
right?
Funny how it works. Yeah. Yeah, and now you've probably only got one home game if you make the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely only one.
Yeah, I would think that you're not going to be getting anywhere
else. Whoever is NFC East champ is only getting one.
That's it.
Yeah. No, it's doable. In many minds,
because
if it's the nine, one of those teams is going to fall to from could be 1-5.
Yeah, it could be. Man, this,
if you're the Niners,
can you imagine?
That was a costly loss to Atlanta.
Unbelievable.
Costly.
By the way, I love it when teams are playing spoiler. I really do. That's why I didn't really want to play the Giants or Washington this year, because you just see Atlanta doing stupid things. Just like chucking the ball and being like, why not our season? You see teams going for it on 4th-and-7 in the second quarter. They're just like, yeah, whatever. We're just going to do whatever we want to do. So Atlanta doing that and chucking it at the end of the game against San Francisco didn't quite go according to the script. It's amazing how that works out.
Now, and we're still talking about a team that still has 3 losses.
Man.
But the difference in terms of being able to control more.
Substantial.
Yep.
It's big time. 610-632-0975. Let's get to Bill in Smikesville, who's been waiting. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, D. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Just talking about, many things. First, defense wins championships in those sports. Most people know that. And, unfortunately with Schwartz, I never liked Schwartz. And, it's almost like the Simmons thing where, it kind of hurt us that he won the Super Bowl, because it's not like you can't say, hey, his defense, he gave up 500 yards.
Right.
Over 500 yards. But you can't say, just like Simmons unfortunately made an all-star team in a weak East, he can kind of throw that in our face type thing. But, defense wins, and they've never really had a stud linebacker in this net. And your back end only looks as good as your front. When you're only rushing 3 guys, you're giving your quarterback way too much time where, these guys are just basically getting double teamed. They have all day to go back there. And when you're getting a pass rush, I don't care in a sense, you're still going to have half-decent D-backs, but they look much better when they're getting pressure. It's hard to guard any wide receiver for that amount of time. You know, as far as, you know, you guys are talking like the running game and, you know, the whole analytics thing, I think what a lot of people forget, and I'm sure you guys can attest to this, the big thing with the running game is this. There's a big difference between going 85 yards and running the ball down someone's throat for 8 or 9 minutes. It's demoralizing. It's a lot more demoralizing than 10 passes in a rushed offense and then allowing a team to come back on, you know, like scoring within, you know, 4 minutes and allowing a good offensive team to get on the field. It's a lot more, you know, keeping a team that's good offensively off the field and off of their game. It's just, you know, it's demoralizing to a man. You think about that. There's nothing better than just smash mouth, punch in the mouth, 80 yards, running the ball down someone's throat,
yep,
and just running it in. There's nothing like that. No analytics can pick that up. It is absolutely a mind, you know, in those sports, it's mental. And there's nothing more mental than running the ball. That's one-on-one, me beating and dominating you.
Yeah, if it's...
And it's physically exhausting.
Well, there's that part, too. But if a team throws for a 75 or an 80-yard touchdown pass on you, you're not thinking, wow, I got dominated. It's like, wow, that was annoying. We made one mistake.
Yeah, made a mistake.
Plus, you get right back on the field. And if you look, you look at, you know, history, great quarterbacks, in a sense, there's a lot of great quarterbacks that haven't won the Super Bowl. When running backs, great running backs, and or very good running games, win the big game. Why? Because you control the clock. There's nothing you can't beat. Like I said, the Eagles going down, even though they only got 3 points, but they basically took a whole quarter off. They didn't allow the Redskins in that first thing. You know, unfortunately, like that last caller said, they're allowing people, as soon as they score, they're allowing other teams to score. But when you're controlling the ball for an 8-minute run, that's you can't beat that. It's going to cause a low scoring game. It's going to cause pressure on the other team to try to make, you know, maybe pass the ball and try to score quickly because they don't have that much time, which leads to turnovers. And again, passing the ball causes, I'm sure if you look it up, I'm sure there's more interceptions than there are running back fumbles. You know, so there's a better chance of turning the ball over when you throw the ball. I'm sure of that. I can guarantee that.
I would
think that you're right about that, though. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
The ball's in the air.
Well, plus the quarterback can fumble. Right, first of all, so there's that element to it, too, where the quarterback can fumble. And, you know, interceptions, if you're seeing more defensive backs turn into, like, Tyrann Mathieu ball hawks, you're not seeing more Charles Tillmans, you know, guys who are coming in and trying to punch balls out and, like, having that be their calling card.
Right.
I think the Bills probably right about that.
More interceptions.
Yeah, more interceptions,
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. I mean, look at the great running backs. I can't believe sometimes how they hold on to the ball.
And so
getting hit and taken down.
That's the only part where, by the way, he lost me, was talking about the great running backs. The great running games, I completely agree that great running games have won championships. You think about who the best running backs are in the NFL. Now, take Saquon Barkley out of it. Sample size is too small. Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, mm-hmm, Christian McCaffrey, that's another mm-hmm small sample size. Adrian Peterson, Todd Gurley.
Wow, Adrian Peterson is... He's doing this. That's a long, long time.
He's 16th in the league in rushing, which is amazing to me. But my point is that none of these great backs have won Super Bowls. You're seeing guys who are part of committees. You're seeing LeGarrette Blount win 10,000 rings, wow, for doing a job. And Jay Ajayi and Corey Clement and James White and, you know, guys win rings who are not the top of the pops in terms of the talent pool. I don't know. I'm just saying it's pretty rare that you see stud running backs win rings. It happens with Marshawn Lynch.
But back in the day, like an Emmitt Smith.
Happened all the time, but there were more bell cow running backs back in the day.
Right, right. So that's what we're saying. The evolution of how the position is being played and what is most successful in the overall scheme of teams.
Exactly. Yeah, they're more specialists nowadays.
By the way, I got a paper on this topic, too.
Oh, you did?
How the running back has changed in the NFL.
I assume that talking about how it's been devalued overall.
He actually more to the versatility
that,
you know, the smash mouth guy is fewer and far between, as opposed to guys like Miles Sanders now.
Satellite backs, good in space.
He got an A.
Yeah, he got an A. He nailed it. I bet he's talking about, back in the days of Tim Hightower.
Well, Adrian Peterson was part of his thing, and I was, oh my God, he's been playing this long?
Forever.
Like you forget how old he is.
Was he in 07? Was he a draft pick in 07?
I think...
Adrian Peterson, I think he was in 07. Yes?
So I got, that's 12, 13 years.
Our draft research staff says that that's correct. Yeah, he's a 34-year-old running back. Right. He's 16th in the league in rushing. And
where they say, you know, it's the shortest career that you can have.
It's like 2.5 years, yeah. Right?
Right. Ask Brian Westbrook.
Too short. Mm-hmm. And then I saw Frank Gore's got two guys in front of him now. All time in career rushing yards. That is full on. That Eagles legend Frank Gore. I'll have you remember because he was an Eagle for about 6 minutes. I read the update on it and then had to retract it immediately because you know cold feet and everything. It's D. Lineham and Joe Torty hanging out until midnight, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.